Welcome to another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we seek Jesus Christ beyond the pulpit. We're going to continue our series on possessing science and faith with Tom Katowski. Let's jump into the conversation. All right. So as far as your career, you dedicate a lot of your mind and mentality to building new products, innovating, being ambitious, and just, you know, blessing the world with a lot of technology. How do you use that same mind to pursue God?
Well, one of the things in the arena of science is my curiosity, and it's constantly pursuing new things, new interests. And there's the basics in my life. As mentioned, I'm an evangelical Christian, and I live a life of praising the Lord and doing the basic things of reading God's word. But beyond that, in addition to that, this sense of adventure I have is always finding God in new places and in new ways, and seeing him in my understanding of the world and seeing his hand in how different things work. And one of the biggest things is to recognize that the reason why I can understand science, the reason why I can understand the world, is because we are made in God's own image, and we dwell in him, and we have the same nature as what he had, the nature that created laws. That is an explanation of why we can understand science, the explanation of why we can think, the explanation of why we can have models that are able to describe our external reality. But the other thing is creativity and constantly looking at new ways. And one of the things that I've been involved in the last 6 months is a new sort of a way to praise the Lord. And the way that I'm doing this, and my wife is doing this also, is we're learning how to play musical instruments to accompany ourselves when we sing praises to the Lord. Now, I'm not someone who has a great singing voice, but if there's accompaniments, I mean, the beauty of the keyboard and all the instruments that are involved in an arranger keyboard, I'm just accompanying that, you know, not the other way around. So I'm able to praise the Lord. And there's something in creating music that is also, there's an additional part of me that goes into the worship.
If I could just interject real quick, I totally agree with you on that one, especially from a musical standpoint. You know, I played drums for quite a while, although I consider myself semi-retired. But, you know, having other ways to worship the Lord, and God bless you with a talent or even a desire or a passion, and to be able to dedicate that to the glory of the Lord. Yeah, that's definitely a distinct mindset, you know, that I would say is probably different than that same mindset that, you know, drives you to new scientific knowledge or perhaps a new scientific understanding. Would you say that there's a regimen in how you pursue scientific understanding or scientific solutions versus pursuing using that same mindset or regimen to pursue a godly relationship?
One of the reasons why I was successful in my career is I really worked with people who were a lot smarter than I, but I was able to compete with them because what I always did is I developed methodologies of problem solving. I would use, anytime I'd have a look at a paper, I'd take it and I'd put it into mathematics, and I had it in the program. So anytime something new would come in that area, I would simply use that bit of math. And as time went on, I built up more and more and more resources. So as I get a new problem, I could apply all of the analysis that I had done in terms of the mathematics. And in that same way, my understanding of Christianity, of course, keeps growing as a result of my, I don't know how many books I've read on the deeper aspects of Christianity. And a lot of the deeper aspects come from some of the older writers from the 19th century going all the way back to the start of the Reformation. We had some people who, for example, they did systematic theology. They developed a whole idea of that. Then we had people who started evangelical movement. A lot of them, they were returning to the sense of worship, and they wrote books, books on Azusa Street, all these different things. They tend to reinforce one another and build, and you scaffold upon them, and it gives you a richer understanding. And I have been so blessed in my life because the Lord has gifted me to meet and be have a pastor of truly great men of God. And I'm now got to be careful when you talk about such things, because there are certain things that are holy, and you do not just share them because they are so holy. And so I, no, I, this is something I could share with someone privately, but not just to put out there. But anyways, this is in the realm of the miraculous. Men of God who, when they moved from place to place, there were physical miracles that followed them, and this was constantly. But I was blessed in having experiences with those people. And one of the things that I find myself doing is I feel like I have a special relationship with pastors, and they are the people that I gravitate to, and we can share some of the deeper things when you're dealing with a pastor or someone who has really immersed their life into things. Or for that matter, there are people that I know that just because of the way that they, well, let me backtrack here. One of the ways to really know a person is to be with them when they pray. When you're with somebody and you're praying together, you get to know the heart of that person. You get to know their spirit. Well, those are other areas in which I have grown in being able to be with other Christians and be in prayer with them. That is, and there are
Yeah, that's an interesting
many.
perspective that you brought up. If I could just interject, how you get to know a person really well when you pray with them. I definitely agree with
Yes.
that. What actually came to my mind is Proverbs, where you can learn about true friendship through when dealing with adversities. I typically have this I don't know, very short comparison where I call it the hammer test, right? If you happen to have a hammer hit your finger, all right? Instantaneous adversity. How do you respond to it? You have some people that maybe they'll cuss and swear, revelation of heart. You'll have some people that use the Lord's name in vain, revelation of heart again. And then there's others who will, maybe say ouch or something like that. So when I think about someone whose heart is being revealed, the first thing I think of is adversity. Now, don't get me wrong, a prayer life, talking with the Lord, that's very sincere. Other people use that as an opportunity for, turning it into maybe religious gossip. But for the sake of this conversation, when it comes to surrounding yourself with other believers, especially those who are probably even more immersed or mature, however you want to call it, for one, I know for me, there are times where in when I was in the technical world and I'm working with somebody who's smarter than me, sometimes I have to learn to hold my pride down. That's one of the struggles. And I wanted to ask you if n I'm not even going to assume that this is something that you deal with, my brother, but how do you speak to someone who may be very successful in a secular or maybe non-ungodly environment, not ungodly, secular environment, right? How do you speak to someone who's now growing in their faith and addressing perhaps any pride in their life as they grow and mature and probably experience maybe setbacks or perhaps maybe some downfalls here and there?
With regard to other Christians, or with regard to those who I may be talking about the Lord or talking about my faith.
to Christians, those who are growing from faith to faith that just must live by faith, and perhaps they're wavering or discouraged, where pride is probably the key factor.
Certainly, one of the things that the scriptures teach us and the Lord teaches us is that humility is one of the things that you need to have, because to be like Christ was humble. And that is one of the requirements. And in order to be able to take up your cross and follow it daily, of course, you have to humble yourself in order to do that. In order to be able to forgive those who trespass against us, of course, there's humility there in humbling yourself and not responding in anger or not responding with something very, very clever. But in one sense, well, humbling yourself in front of God, in front of that person. And there are a number of ways, of course, that that manifests itself. And this is something my wife keeps reminding me of. And that's the idea of being able to do things in my own strength, my own power, as opposed to looking to the God, my Lord, for strength. And there are many aspects to that, but I'm sharing those things in my own life. And now, of course, one has to be careful because there's the paradox of trying to, by revealing your quote humility, you may actually be bragging about your humility. So it's the sort of thing that you have to be led by the Holy Ghost. And if you're doing it the right way, everything's fine. If you're getting into some area, the Holy Ghost will let you know. And in my case, this is it's a very interesting thing to be able to admit. Whenever I get to the point, the Lord blesses me. If I do start getting too big for my own britches, the Lord is faithful to put a banana peel there, and I go slip and fall down and hit my head. And he's very, very, very make certain that that always happens. If I ever try to do that, he's going to put that little banana peel and sort of get me back into the place I should be. So I'm very thankful for the Lord in
You're
that
right
he.
about that. The Bible does say the Lord chastised those whom he loves. I don't always enjoy being chastised, but I'm reminded that this is from a loving God, especially if he does it gently enough where it's like, wow, you know what? I'm now perfectly in a place where I can recognize my folly and recognize my shortcomings, and you know what? And then I also realize, hey, I'm in a position now where I could potentially now exercise more faith now, so that's awesome. Now, you did mention one thing. You mentioned you're amazing, you're awesome, you're beautiful, you're a wise wife. And she said something very interesting, or at least you quoted her in her basically saying how you have, talking about trying to do everything yourself, maybe trying to solve your problems yourself, which is very prevalent in, the technology world, the scientific world. You're out there trying to solve problems, trying to make new discoveries. But now, now you want to s submit that mental strength to an omniscient God. What was that like for you? And was it instantaneous for you to be able to trust God and be able to turn off that innovation light switch when relating to the Lord? What was that like, that transition?
No, certainly not. But then, of course, there's this area of just natural maturation. And then, of course, physically, your brain is not fully formed until you're about 24 years old. And you do stupid things. And this is one of the ways that you can see this statistically is you look at traffic accidents. For men, they peak at age 24. You just do stupid things until after age 24, and then there's maturation. You have the full use of all your mental faculties. So I have to go through that, the maturation. Oh, well, I want to stop here because I don't really want to get this too much about my own personality, because I think we want to get into more general, more aspects of this. But there's one thing I do want to respond to you, and you're talking about how you respond if you hit your thumb with a hammer or something like that. And in my case, I think one of the first ways that I knew that the Holy Ghost was with me is there was one time I got up in the middle of the night stumbling around to get some drink of water or something, and there was no light and so forth. And I happened to stub my toe on a piece of furniture that was there. And the thing that came out of my mouth was, "Thank you, Jesus." And at that moment, I knew that that God had taken my heart, and He had done a work in me. So that was a very interesting experience for me to find out that my mind had been renewed.
And when you talk about your mind being renewed, how does that relate to, say, your intuition? Would you say that's another part of renewing the mind?
From the time I was very young, the Lord was trying to teach me something. And the thing He was trying to teach me is that I'm a prophet. And I say that with a great deal of humility and a great deal of fear. But throughout all my life, the Lord has constantly wanted me to understand that so that I would use that gift. And it's a very scary thing. It's a very, very, very scary thing that God would give you that. And it is a gift that I have resisted, but the Lord keeps demonstrating to me that I have the gift.
Are you comfortable talking
So
about that gift?
that is the sort of thing that really reveals itself in situations. And I think to talk about that retrospectively is probably to give an inappropriate glorification of the self, because it's really the revelation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that needs to be acknowledged. The Holy Spirit is the one that all of the praise and he has to be acknowledged as the source of these things. It's nothing that I have in my own strength or in my own humanity. But of course, we all have a gift. All of us has a gift, and we are to use that gift.
I remember a few years ago on the Science Channel, there was a show called Prophets of Science, I think is what it's called. And in that show, they had episodes where they showed, people who are into the sciences, like, I don't know, some of the creators of Star Trek or something of that nature, or, old shows that somehow had some prophetic insights, in some of the episodes, things that were sort of foretelling of some of the technologies we would have today that we didn't have back then. Maybe uses of some certain type of intergalactic cell phones or something of that nature that are now being perhaps used in the Mars Perseverance technology. As far as addressing, I guess the secular version of prophet versus the biblical version of prophecy or prophet. Do you see there being a correlation, one being true and the other one simply being either false or temporal?
Well, I think there's two different mechanisms involved there. Revelation of the Holy Spirit is very different than projecting based on what technology is now, what it will be in the future. And there have been so many counterexamples of people making statements about the future that have been proven to be incorrect. Anytime you've looked at, well, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, people were predicting that, oh, pretty soon we will have vehicles that are going to be combination cars, and every one of us will have an airplane and we'll be flying around in the skies. Well, that's not happened. I think the only thing that I can think of is they have quadricopters now that do that, but they're very, very, very expensive. But anyways, the head of IBM, Watson, saying that he can only predict the need for four personal or four computers in all the world, or when it came to the invention of the personal computer, people who didn't know, the head of people like in back time, back in that time, Hewlett Packard, the head over there saying that he could not see the need for more than 1,000 computers for use in the home. And there have been many examples of very, very knowledgeable people making statements that are very, very wrong because, well, a lot of things are just incredibly surprising. For example, the growth of the automobile in a period of like about 7 years, the number of automobiles we had on the road went from a couple hundred to maybe 100,000 in a period of just 6 or 7 years. You know, who could predict something like that when you get something that is a technology that is truly has a tremendous breakthrough in certain areas, a transformative technology. So to answer your question there, as I said, I think there are two different sort of faculties involved. And I don't think the Holy Spirit is all that interested in the technology. I think the Holy Spirit is concerned about the salvation of people, knowing the way that the powers of darkness may move in certain areas. Or sometimes, the Lord will give us revelations about a lot of it's about people, I think.
Now, you mentioned power of darkness, and I think I can make this my final question, at least for this segment. Dealing with the power of darkness, it's a very grim topic. You have Jesus Christ, the light. What's the opposite of the light? Darkness, and of course, the scripture talks about people are afraid of the light because it reveals their sin, and it exposes them to the darkness that truly encompasses them. So when it comes to dealing with the scientific endeavors, is it always agnostic when pursuing scientific goals, or could there be an element of light, element of darkness that comes along with the territory of pursuing scientific, new scientific landscapes?
Well, we just have to go back to the garden, and God told Adam, you should go out there and take authority over the earth and take authority over the animals. So that was a command or a dictum that the Lord gave us. And so one can take that and sort of expand that. We're not talking about soil or grass or plants, but that's a natural extension of being of having control of over the earth, the assets of the earth. And then, as I mentioned a number of times before, the laws of nature are God's laws, and the early scientists they wanted to study what was then called general revelation to discover something of the nature of God. So, yes, I see no inconsistency between these endeavors and God's command for us to go out and to be able to take dominion over the earth.
All right, amen to that. This ends another episode of Beyond Sermons, where we seek Jesus Christ beyond the pulpit. We just completed another episode of Possessing Science and Faith with Tom Katowski. Join us again for another episode where we continue to talk about possessing science and faith, how they can coexist in the mind of not only Tom, but also you as well too. So if you find yourself to be a reasonable person or seeking explanations regarding scripture and so forth, there's okay to use that ability, that curiosity to dig into the word a little bit more. The goal of this podcast is to entice people to read scriptures for themselves. And if this reaches just one person in this entire episode, this entire ministry is absolutely worth it. So with that being said, visit beyondsermons.com, where you can pick and choose the podcast platform of your choice. Consider subscribing and being alerted of future episodes. Be blessed to be a blessing.